By way of introduction, on ace.com, there's an article posted called Herman Cain's Women Problem. How Jewish guidelines of male-female relationships could have helped. So the author here, Judy Gruen, talks about a boss that she had when she was working named Glenn, a Christian boss. And he was very strict that when he went out to lunches, if it was a woman that he was going out to lunch with, he was very careful to bring another person along, be it a male or a female. But he would never go alone with one woman. To Glenn, three wasn't a crowd, it was an insurance policy. Quite a comment there. It was an insurance policy. Don't go alone with a woman, even a business lunch. Insurance policy, bring somebody else along. So she continues, I couldn't help but think of Glenn this past week as presidential hopeful. Herman Cain fights off accusations of sexual harassment by a growing number of women. Herman Cain was a candidate for president, and out of the woodworks came multiple women claiming that he had sexually harassed them. Judaism teaches that men and women who are not married to one another or not close relations, such a sister or brother, should never be secluded with one another. What's that called?
Yichud.
What does the word yichud mean? Yachad, together, secluded. Don't be secluded, a man and a woman together. Possibly even more, a man and two women also is a problem. Yichud. Don't be secluded together with somebody of the opposite gender. There's a famous saying that fences make good neighbors, and that aphorism is very apt here. In Judaism, many of the laws that regulate our behavior are protective layers against our own weaknesses. It's human nature. They are a tacit acknowledgement that even good men and women can find themselves in situations where they will be vulnerable to human weakness. So what we're talking about here is yichud, being secluded alone, one man, one woman together, or possibly even more. Possibly two men, one woman. Two women, one man. We're going to have to talk about some of the numbers. We're not talking necessarily about bad people. We're talking about human nature. That the Torah has told us, we want you to be careful, have an insurance policy, to not be secluded together, because the Torah acknowledges that human nature desires somebody of the opposite gender. This is a very relevant topic in the workforce, I will tell you. This is as relevant as they come. Just to go through some problematic situations, potential problematic situations that there could be a real yichud problem, it crosses almost every occupation. I just jotted down a few therapists. Therapists typically meet one-on-one. Could be with the opposite gender. Door closed, door locked, maybe even if it's not locked, door closed, potential problem of yichud, one-on-one, male and female. A doctor has a patient of the opposite gender, a dentist. Somebody's an editor working in an editing bay, and his assistant is female, or it's she and he, either one. Going away to a trade show. Trade shows are a real problem. Leaving the wife at home, going off to the trade show, having meetings at the trade show, meetings in hotel rooms, for example, are very problematic, but common. We have a real problem of yichud in those situations. I once went to a meeting in Yerushalayim in the middle of the city with an attorney, walked up two flights of stairs in a basically desolate building. Isolated building, no foot traffic. It was even dark in the hallways, in the stairwell. Two flights up, tough finding the place. Finally find the door, knock, walk in. It's an attorney with a yarmulke on. He's male. Most he's are male, but he's male. And his receptionist is female. So here the door was closed but unlocked. Is there a problem of yichud? And I could go on and on and on. Almost in every occupation, this is going to be an issue that has to be dealt with. Now, I will say the situations vary, and very much the office that you work in, the people that you work in, the work ethic, how the office is set up, all will come into play in saying whether we have a problem with yichud or not. And I'll go through some examples of where I've worked. Some have been more problematic, some are less problematic, and I'll see what you mean when I say that it's very fact specific. When I started working in 1995, I was working at a massive law firm in New York, a few hundred attorneys, and it was a hard-working sweatshop, as they say. People were working 24/7. Some people were working 28 hours a day times six. You know, they were working. You have to make up for it if you're not working on Shabbos. So people were working hard, and what that means is if you have a lot of people concentrated together, and you have people working throughout the night also, depending on what deal they're on, there aren't going to be that many problems of yichud. Because even if you're stuck there, a male and female together in the middle of the night, there's still a lot of people coming in and going out. There's a lot of foot traffic in and a lot of people. A lot of people have access. A lot of people coming in and out. You never know when to expect somebody that's going to walk in. So that wasn't such a problematic situation. But when I moved out in 1997, 98, to their Los Angeles office, it was only 20 people working there, and it was a lot less of a sweatshop, which means if you're stuck there over the weekend, late at night, it could very well be that it's just a male, a female, two people, and there's not necessarily an expectation that somebody else may walk in at the time. So smaller office could be more problematic. I then went on to work at an internet startup, and it was set up as cubicles, cubes. Anyone been in an office? A lot of cubes, everyone sitting together. Almost no offices, and the offices had glass. So you can see right in, no problem of yichud. So in a situation like that, there are not many problems of yichud. But since 2005, I've been working in a home office. I work with a company in San Diego. The office is there. I work satellite. Home office, you'd think that there's no problem with yichud. What could be wrong? What could be a problem? You're in your home. The problem is that if my wife goes out and there's another female, for example, a cleaning lady in the house, I indeed have a real problem of yichud. So this has come up multiple times, numerous times over the years, and that's a question we're going to have to deal with, is how do you deal with yichud, even in your own home, one-on-one, if one spouse is not around. So that's by way of introduction number one. Is a very common issue and something that we have to open up our eyes to. We're not going to be able to go through all the details. We're going to talk about the main principles. So when we get out, either in the workforce, or if you go out into Kiruv, this is a real issue also. Whatever you do, this is going to be an issue that you have to grapple with, hopefully, based on the principles that we'll talk about between this week and Emir Tashem next week. We'll be able to spot the issues of Yichud and be able to ask a psak from a knowledgeable Rav in these areas, because the details of the halachas and the details of the specifics and the scenarios are numerous. Okay, hakdama number two, introduction number two, I want to talk about, in general, the isser, the prohibition of lasikrivu legalos erva, because the chinuch says that yichud falls under that prohibition. So lasikrivu legalos erva, ironically, is a pasuk in this week's parsha, Achrei Mos, so we're going to hopefully pay attention towards the end of the parsha. We'll get to the pasuk. Lo sikrivu legalos erva. What's the word tikrivu? Sikrivu. Karov. What does karov mean?
Close.
Don't come close. Don't even come close. Legalos. To reveal. Erva is nakedness. Don't even come close. In other words, the pasuk is talking about don't even come close to revealing the nakedness of somebody that you're prohibited to. The poskim, and we'll go through the Sefer Achinuch written approximately 700 years ago, 800 years ago, it's unclear. He says as follows on this pasuk, and the Sefer Chinuch really is based, for the most part, this section on Gemaras. So the Sefer Chinuch says, "Lo sikrivu legalos erva, don't even come close to revealing the nakedness of someone you're prohibited to." What's it talking about? Ben krovos, it can be a relative that you're prohibited to. Ve'eshes ish, somebody who's married. Ve'nida, and a woman is a nida. 12-year-old girl, whatever it is, whenever they start menstruating, she's a nida. So he focuses now on the language of the pasuk, lo sikrivu legalos erva. Is this only talking about don't have relations with one of the women that you're prohibited to, a nida, a married woman, or is it more expansive, the prohibition? What would we think based on the language, lo sikrivu legalos erva, don't even come close apparently it's much broader, right? Much broader than don't even do the act, but even many more things are included in the prohibition. So he says as follows, "Va'afilu b'lobia," even not having relations with her, "kegon chibuk," hugging her, "nishuk," kissing her, "v'chol hadome le'elu ha'pu'ulos aros," and anything similar to any of these activities with a woman you're prohibited to falls under the prohibition of losikruhu legalos erva. Don't even come close. And he says Chazal expanded it to be inclusive. So don't flirt with a woman you're not married to. Don't wink at a woman you're not married to. Don't smell the perfume of a woman you're not married to. Why? Vasikrabu, don't even come close, because what's the next step when you start being enticed and flirting and playing games? Smelling the perfume, unfortunately, that's the direction that it's going to go into. Los secret, who don't even come close, because eventually you're going to be Megala Erva. Chazal, he says, Raboseinu Zichron Levracha continued and said, included in Los secret Vulagalos Erva is the prohibition to have Yichud. Don't even be secluded with a woman who you are prohibited with. Let me ask a question. What if she is ugly? Does it still apply?
Yes.
Still applies.
Yes.
Why? But she's really. What if she's really ugly? Not a little ugly, but really ugly.
Well.
Maybe it's okay then.
What? Lights, it doesn't matter.
What if she's good? What if she's 103 years old?
Doesn't make a difference.
108, 110.
One day you can be drunk.
One day you can be drunk. So even if she's really old. Even if she's really old, it applies. So that's what the Chinuch says. That's how we paskin. Bein zekena, bein yalda, whether she's old, whether she's much younger than you are. It doesn't matter. What's the problem? Shayichud legalos erva hu gorem. You never know what may happen. Simply being secluded with that woman, something may happen. So can a person come and say, you know what, I have nothing for her, or maybe the person says, I don't have these taivas, I don't have these inclinations, I'm too tired, maybe there's a physical impediment, a mental impediment. It doesn't apply to me, certainly with not with that woman, to quote President Clinton, not with that woman, right? I guess maybe that's before your time. So when he was denying Monica Lewinsky.
We were there.
Okay, we were there. Everyone knows that line. So can I say that? Can I opt out of Yichud? It doesn't apply to me. Not with her. So the Chinuch continues. Don't even think of saying that. Don't think you can say, you know what? Her, I can look at, because it's not a problem. Who are her I can have yichud with? Shaharbre amru chen v'nichshalu. Many people have said that. V'nichshalu. And you know what's happened to them? Legalo serva. They've come, and they've wound up doing the act. So the Chinuch brings a Gemara, and he says, how does the Yetzer Hara work on us? When you see someone, there's no attraction. Does it kick in like that? Or does it work its wily ways over time? So it says as follows in the Chinuch, HaYetzer B'tchila Chalash Me'od. The Yetzer Hara of the evil inclination starts out weak. Nah, there's nothing with her. She's not attractive. No way. There's no chance. The Holech Hu Mischazik Al Ha'adam Harbe. And over time, it gets to work. And it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. There's a guy, I'm going to call him Joe, in case he ever listens to this audio. And Joe is a business partner of mine. We've worked together now for 13 years. And a few years ago, he hired an assistant, executive assistant. And at the beginning, he had zero attraction for her. Joe was married, two kids, happily married, or maybe not happily married. But that's neither here nor there. And at the beginning, he had zero attraction to his secretary. And over time, as the Chinuch told us, HaYeser B'tchila Chalash Me'od, at the beginning there was nothing, V'holech U'mischazek, and it gets stronger and stronger. 2 years later, he started having an extramarital affair with his executive assistant. And as these things happened, the wife found out about it. And today, Joe is divorced, has two kids, and he's not with his secretary. She had to be fired. Couldn't handle the issues, had to be fired. Is this common or uncommon? Joe's not Jewish. Could it be somebody that's Jewish? Could it be somebody that's from?
Sure.
Could easily be. Unfortunately, it's a very common occurrence. I'm not going to say common. I'm going to say very common, because unfortunately this happens all the time. And it's to people, whether they wear a black yarmulke, a white yarmulke, a purple yarmulke, whether they have a beard or not a beard, whether they have pears or not, have tzitzis out or not, it's applicable and relevant to every normal male and even females. We've seen the statistics in the past that men, married men having extramarital affairs, the statistics range from a conservative low of 22% to the high of 60% of men, married men having affairs. In the Orthodox areas, we don't know. These statistics are self-reported. But I would venture to say, hopefully it's a little bit lower than the society, but it's certainly not in the single digits. There is no way it's in the single digits. So that's why yichud in the frum world. So that's why knowing the halachas of yichud, I have not taken a poll, but simply from what I've seen, it is in the double digits, unfortunately, and easily. The Rambam says as follows. Why is that? Why is that? First, people don't learn the halachas of Yichud. So now, we have no excuses. We're learning the halachas of Yichud. And number two, the Rambam brings the Gemara, another important Gemara that we need to know. He says, in Hilchas Isurei Bira, Perek Chaf Beis, Halacha Yudches, Ein Lecha Davar B'chol HaTorah Kula. This is an unbelievably broad statement by the Rambam. There is nothing, and this is based on Gemaras, there's nothing in the entire Torah that is as difficult for people as separating themselves from illicit relationships. Talking about men with women, women with men. There's nothing more difficult than that, says the Rambam. So I want to ask, what are the difficult things that we grapple with? What are the human tendencies, the strongest human tendencies and desires that we have? Rambam is telling us one of them. Women. What are the other? Other things that people money. Desire. Money. Very good. Women, money.
Power.
Food. I put on a second tier.
Power.
Cover. Cool. Respect. How would we order those?
Aren't those all of like the three major ones? Kina, Taiva, Kavod.
Kina, Taiva, and Kavod. Good. Very good. How would we order them? If you think, what's most common? What's strongest in people?
Money.
Women.
Power
number one. We have a machlokes achronim here. I would say women.
Yeah.
Number one, this is what I would say. Women, kavod. Money. I would put money next. And kavod, respect. But kavod may be related to one and certainly two. But so they may be related. So the next halach in the Rambam says as follows, quoting a chazal. First he says, there is no generation that doesn't have people who are promiscuous involved in illicit relations. And that what I wanted to focus on in this next halacha, Vod Amru Chachamim Chazal also tell us, Rav Begezel. The majority of people steal. Rav Begezel, how can that be? Most people are going into banks and stealing. Most people are going into the makolet and stealing Yediot Achronot. What is that? Oh, so very good. It could be talking about all types of Geneva, taking home that pen from work. Using the postage machine at work without permission. How about reusing that postage stamp when it came to you and it wasn't stamped? There's a federal statute in the United States that you can't use a stamp if it came to you unstamped. California has a law that if there's money in a parking meter, you still need to pay. And it's illegal to park even if there's money on it, because you yourself didn't pay. In California, there's a law.
Really?
So Rav Begezel.
But how would they know?
Doesn't matter. If the cop would see you. Rav Begezel. The majority of people steal. That's a very broad statement, but Gezel is defined very broadly. Miut Barayas. The minority of people are involved in illicit relationships. And everyone says some form of Lashon Hara. So I think if we would divide up based on the three desires that people have, Gezel is money, Arayas is women, and Lashon Hara, when you talk bad about somebody, is covered. You're trying to build yourself by putting somebody else down. Now, I do have a question. We said in the prior halacha that the majority of people have a difficulty separating themselves from these issues, and now we only say that a minority of people are involved in arayas. Isn't that a conflict in the Rambam? Everyone get the question? First, we said this is the most difficult thing for everyone. This, in all entire Torah, this is the most difficult thing, and in the second halacha here, we say it's a mute, the minority of people.
Because that's the ending, that's the...
Very good. So the halacha yudches, the first halacha that we mentioned, the Rambam says everyone has difficulties with this. How many people actualize it? It's a minority. Nowadays things may have changed, but at least back then, at the time of Chazal, it's the minority that act upon their desires. But everyone has those desires. So what do you do? What's the antidote? So in the next halacha chaf, the Rambam says as follows. Lefichach roi lo la'adam lakof yisro bedavar zeh. We have to take control of our yetzers, of our evil inclinations. Ula hargil atma bekedusha yisera. We have to get acclimated and used to imbuing ourselves with holiness, with kedusha, v'machshava Torah, and clean thoughts. Ubedeya nechona kedei lihinatzel mehen, to save ourselves from these things. Learn musar, keep our minds clean. And then the Rambam says at the end of this, v'yizaher min hayichud. Most important, says Rambam, you have to be very careful to stick to the requirements of yichud, not being secluded with a woman or women. Shehu hagorem hagadol. Because that is the big cause for our failings when it comes to having these relationships, is if we do not stick to the halachas of yichud, the next step, or three steps afterward, is winding up, unfortunately, in bed with somebody that we should not be. So that's indeed what the Rambam paskins. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Eben HaEzer, Simen Chaf Bei, Sif Aleph, Davar Zev, violating the Isurim of Yichud, Gorem Legalos Erva. That is the cause for winding up in an illicit relationship, an extramarital affair, or if you're not married, an affair with somebody that we should not be. Okay, is Yichud an Isur de Oraisa, or is it an Isur de Rabbanan? Is it biblical, or is it rabbinic in nature? That is a machlokis between the poskim. There's a Gemara of Arazora, Lamed Vav, Amid Beis, that says that remez liyichud min haTorah minayin. Where do we have a remez, a hint of yichud in the Torah? And it brings a pasuk in Devarim Yud Gimel that says, brings a proof that there's a hint. It's not a mefurish pasuk, but it's a hint, it's a source in the Torah. Nonetheless,
Yosef.
No, it's in Devarim. It's a different pasuk. We're not going to go through the limud right now. But nonetheless, the Gemara right after that says as follows, Yichud de Oraisa de Eshes Ish. Having Yichud is biblical. It's a biblical prohibition if the woman is married. Jewish woman married is Issur de Oraisa. David HaMelech came and decreed that Yichud also applies to a single Jewish woman, a Pnuya. There's also an Issur Yichud, even if she's not married. And the Talmidim, the students of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, came, the Talmidei Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, Gozra afilu ayichud de'ovedes chachavim. This applies also if she is not Jewish, there is also a problem of yichud. Just as a parenthetical, why did David HaMelech feel the need to come and decree that yichud would also apply to non-married Jewish women? Girls. What happened? What happened in the Navi? Tells us. No, it wasn't him. It's one of his children, or two of his children. Amnon and his Tamar. Amnon is one of David HaMelech's sons. Had something for his half sister Tamar.
And then he'd like shoot her out right after.
He faked being ill. Tells his father, I need my sister Tamar to take care of me. She cooks him something. He says, get everyone out, close the doors, and he rapes her. Afterward, after the rape, he throws her out. I'm done. Yeah. That was my taiva. Get out of here. But David HaMelech saw, and then, things progressed from there. So, David HaMelech says, obviously, we need to expand the prohibition of Yichud, because it's not enough to have a prohibition of Yichud only with a woman, a married woman. So he expanded it also to non-married women. It happens to be a machlokes between the poskim. Does Yichud apply is Yichud Deoraisa Derabanan. As I mentioned, the tour, for example, in Ibn Ezra says as follows: Aser mina Torah. It's an Isra Doraisa for a man to have Yichud with another woman, an Erva to him, one who he's prohibited to, whether she is younger than he is, much older than he is. The Chachamim Gazru al Kol Yichud al Filu al Shalpnuya, the Kutis, and Chazal came and expanded it that it applies even if she's not married, even if she's not Jewish, as long as she is older than the age of 3, Yichud applies. So see, here we see the Torah is paskening that if she's married, it doesn't matter the age, Yichud is a deraisa. The Shulchan Aruch seems to say that it is derabanan, even when she's married, it doesn't matter, it's still an important issur, whether it's deraisa or derabanan, that we have to adhere to. Yes, please, a quick question.
Why should we have halamina that a non-Jewish woman is less prominent when we say afilu?
Because we saw in the Gemara that it started out as Eishes Ish was deraisa,
yeah.
And then David came and expanded it to be also a Jewish woman. And then it was expanded afterward by the Talmidim Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel to include non-Jewish women. Mm-hmm. It could be from the Lachas of Nida, but also they have a Din of Nida. So there are reasons that they would be less. But nowadays the Psak is that they're equal. The Isra applies equally, whether Jewish, non-Jewish, married or not married. Okay, what I want to do today for the next few minutes is start talking about some of the Halachas of Yichud. We're going to go through the Shulchan Aruch in Ibn Ezra, who gives us the broad principle of when does Yichud apply, and then we're going to talk about some of the Heterim. We're going to keep this on a high level, just go through 4 Heterim, and then Amir Tzashem, next time, we're going to talk about more in detail, is there a minimum amount of time that you have to be together, or is it even a few seconds that you have a problem with Yichud? It's an important question. And then we're going to go into more detail about one of the Heterim, the 4th of the Heterim. So, in Shulchan Aruch, Ibn Ezer, Simon Chaf Beis, these are the halachs of Yichud. In the first Seif, the Shulchan Aruch paskins as follows. Asur li'syached im erva meha'arayas. This is a statement we've seen before. It's prohibited to have Yichud be secluded. To woman, one is prohibited to. Ben Zakena, Ben Yalda, whether she's old, whether she's young. Shedavar ze gorem negalas erva, because by virtue of Yichud, the Yetzer Hara gets to work, and the next thing you know, we have a bigger problem. Chutz me'emim bina, there is an exception, a mother with her son, a father with the daughter, a husband with his wife who is in Nida. Achronim also extend this to a grandfather with a granddaughter, a grandmother with a grandson. There is not a problem of Yichud, and also there's a discussion of brothers and sisters. Typically, we say at least for shorter amounts of time, brother and sister is not a problem. If they are genetically brother and sister, you have issues with adoptions, that there is a problem of Yichud, so that's a serious question that needs to be asked. So that is the principle. Yichud applies. Any woman who is not a daughter, sister, wife, indeed you may have a problem. It applies to cousins and aunts, etc. And anyone that you're working with, unless your wife is working with you. So heter number one, actually that feeds into that, if your wife is working to you, is if your wife is there. If your wife is there, then you don't have a problem with Yichud. Or if the spouse, if the husband of the woman is there that you're with, also you don't have a problem of Yichud. Let me just try to get through it then. So the heter number one, if your wife is with you, if somebody else's wife is there, then you wouldn't have a problem of Yichud. What's the concept here? That person acts as a shomer. That's the watchdog. That's the person watching. If your wife is there, if Sarah is there and Sarah's wife, Avram, is there, you don't have a problem of Yichud with Sarah. So that is heter number one. Heter number two, we're going to start getting a little bit technical, but this is very important. How about if you have another man with you there? What if he's not Jewish? What if he's not from? Doesn't keep halacha. And there's one woman there. Christina is there, and Chris is there. Can he act as a shomer for me? They're not related. Christina's there, I have a problem with Yichud. But what if Chris is there? Do I no longer have a problem with Yichud because another male is there? Or what if...
It is a problem, isn't it?
What if...
It's not a problem.
No,
he's not
but he's not Jewish.
It's still not, right?
It's for you. There's someone else, like, wait, you're not going to really sin.
Can go to someone else?
Is it not true?
Chris,
is
he married?
Yeah,
is it
whatever. Is he embarrassed?
Two men and one woman is a problem.
Okay, so let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. This is the second heter. The second heter, the Ramah. The Ramah is more lenient for Ashkenazim. Sfaradim, the Shulchan Aruch is machmir, even if there are two men, two frum men. The Ramah says for Ashkenazim, v'yesh omri, de'isha achas misyachedes im shnei anoshim kasherim. There's an opinion, and this is how we paskin, that one woman can have yichud with two men who are ksherim. What is ksherim? Shomrei Torah mitzvahs. Not only Jewish, but shomrei Torah mitzvahs. It doesn't have to be Rav Chaim Kanievsky. It doesn't have to be somebody of that stature. But one of the guys in the yeshiva, absolutely ksherim. Somebody who's wearing a yarmulke, you know him to be a frum person. That is somebody as a default, unless you know otherwise, who would be appropriate to act as a shomer. But he says, continue, Im hu ba'ir. A yarmulke in Chutzlaritz, I think, means more than in Israel.
Yeah.
In Israel, you see some of the weirdest things. Somebody wearing a yarmulke and his wife is not wearing much clothing and they're walking down the street. I don't know. Yarmulke is more broader use here, but I think maybe still a yarmulke, unless you see something outrageous, the default would be most people are ashamed. He kind of says that right here. But before I get that, Im hu ba'ir, if it's in the city. What does that mean if it's in the city? One other person can watch me over if we're in civilization. We'll define what that means in a bit. Ustam anashim ksherim hem. Stam anashim. Looks from, acts from. That person is a kasher who is appropriate to act as a shomer for me. You can watch over me. About im hem prutzim. But if you're with promiscuous people, somebody who's not from would have possibly have that default as a prutzim. Afilu imasar, even if there are 10 of them around, asar. Even if there are 10 of them, you never know. If they're not shomrei Torah mitzvahs, they don't adhere to the halachas of yichud, things can go awry. Things can go awry. V'chol ze be'ir, all of this that we're talking about, that one other person with me, one other kosher, we have two men together with one woman is not a problem. And that's talking about in civilization, in the city, you're not out in the fields, you're not out in the desert. About basada, if you're out in the field, obalaila afilo beir, or if it's at night, even in the city, ba'inan shlosha, you need three ksherim. Why? Because if you're in the field, even if it's during the daytime, and one needs to go to the bathroom, then what are you left with? Me and her. Because he's going somewhere else. Or if it's at night, someone falls asleep, even if you're in the city. So at night, we have a stricter standard. You need three people, three ksherim men, and out of town, you need three ksherim. But under normal circumstances, we would say in the city, people around, you would need two people. I once had the following thing happen to me. I was in the Penn Hillel, University of Pennsylvania Hillel House, during final time, and I was studying in the library on the second floor, and the building was locked. Philadelphia is not of the safest of cities, so we used to keep the building locked sometimes. And in the building was a girl, we'll call her Liz. And there was a guy in the base medrash. Give me a name.
Shmuel,
we'll call him Shmuel. Shmuel was learning all the time, and he was at Minyan three times a day. Shmuel's in the base medrash now. I'm right across from there in the library, both on the second floor. Liz is on the bottom floor. And there's one other person, we'll call him Menachem. Menachem comes into the library, I'm in the library by myself, and says, Ari, are you going to be here for a while? I said, yeah, I'm going to stay and study. Got a big final tomorrow, I'm going to stay and study. So, yeah, so I'm going to stick around. So he says, okay, I'll stay. I didn't know what he was talking about. Why is he going to stay? Not a problem of Yichud. It's me and Shmuel and Elizabeth in the building. Building's locked, fine. So later on that night, in the dorm, Menachem tells me, why did he want to stay? Because I had a problem of Yichud. I said, Shmuel was there. He tells me Shmuel's not Jewish. Shmuel, the guy who's learning all the time and at Minyan three times a day, it wasn't Jewish. He cannot act as a shomer. He was considering Gerus, converting, but he wasn't Jewish. So that should be an obvious statement, but the person has to be Jewish. The person has to be a kosher. So far we have two heterim, Ishto Imo, your wife is there, the husband of the woman is there. That is heter number one. Heter number two is if there's another person watching over you, or kosher, you each watch over each other. So two men together are ksherim if it's during the day, if it's not out in the field. Number three applies to women and not to men, but it's a very important heter. It says as follows in Shulchan Aruch, Isha Sheba'ala Be'ir. Ein Choshishin Li'isyah Cherima. If a woman, her husband is in the city, there is no concern of Yichud. How is that relevant? I'm here, my wife is home, what if the plumber has to come in to fix something? The electrician has to come in to fix something. Is there a problem of Yichud that my wife has to say, wait until my husband comes home? Or she can say, you know what, come on in, my husband is around, he's in the city. Even if she knows I'm giving a shir now, Chazal say, and the Achronim explain, that a woman has a fear factor, more than a man. Can you imagine such a thing? Man, she's 3 miles away. Not a problem. But a woman, as long as the husband is in the city, she's going to have some sort of fear, some sort of concern. Now, some of the poskim say, no, this is only applicable if there's an option, if there's a possibility that he's going to come back during that time period. Then a woman can be lenient, a man can't. His wife has to be there. His wife is in the city, so he can have yichud with someone. But we say it with a woman, but we don't say it, the Shulchan Aruch says, not with a man she is familiar with. Meaning, not a little familiar, but somebody she grew up with, or a cousin, somebody she worked with for years on an ongoing basis. We're not going to rely on that. That's not enough that the husband is in the city. But on a one-off, on a two-off, somebody has to come and fix something, somebody has to come in and take care of something, we can be lenient for yichud that the husband is in the city. So that is heter number three. Heter number four is what we're going to spend a lot of time on in Mir Tzashem next time, because it's the most relevant. Certainly the most relevant in the workplace. The Shulchan Aruch says, Bayis shepizcho pasuach l'rishus harabim. If you have a door that is open to a rishus harabim, there is no problem of yichud. What's a rishus harabim? In the Erevin context, there's a lot of discussion in the postgame that you can't have an Erev like a string around. If you have a rishus harabim, some poskim say it's 600,000 people. 600,000 people going on one street in one day. Does that mean my door has to be open to a street that 600,000 people pass on in one day? That's not what we're talking about here. It means a public thoroughfare that people are reasonably and regularly passing by it. If my door literally is open to a rishus harabim where people are commonly found, then I don't have a problem of yichud. Now, next time, Amir Tashem, we're going to have to define that in much more detail. What if my door is closed, but unlocked, but there are a lot of people outside? What happens if my door is opened, but the possibility of somebody coming in is so low because there's no one in this building other than the postman and the FedEx guy who come at 10 in the morning and 11:30 for deliveries. Door's wide open. Secretary, boss, sitting there, opposite genders, but no one's going to come, but the door is open. Does that mean that because literally the door is open and somebody comes in once a day that there's not a problem of yichud? And what we're going to Mir Tzashem get to next time as a corollary to this is how about in an elevator? Man and woman going up in an elevator, do we also have a problem? Doors closed, think World Trade Center. Anyone before 2001, 9/11 go into the World Trade Center elevators? No, nobody? No one from New York? It took a while, or at least it felt like a while, awesome. With the rattling, right? So it felt like you're in there a while. What if it's just you and somebody of the opposite gender? Man and woman, that's it. Is there a problem of yichud? So that ties into all this. Okay, Amir Tashem, we will continue next week and have a great week of learning.